Hey, audio listeners, it's Tony from the Ramp Check Podcast. If you haven't heard, the podcast is back, it's revamped, and we are now on video as well as audio. Catch us every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time on YouTube. We're also streaming live to Twitter and Facebook and more platforms to come. If you just prefer the audio version, of course, we will still be available on, iTunes, Audible, Spotify, and of course, everywhere you get your favorite podcasts. However, this is the video version, so just be prepared. You might hear some stuff that may not make sense. First run of the audio wasn't the best, but hang in there because we are just going to get better and better. And without further ado, it is the brand new revamped Ramp Check Podcast. Enjoy.
Hey, brothers. Long time to see.
Hey. Yes. Hey, Aaron.
Well, Tony. Hey, Aaron. Hey, Ryan.
Let's see. Which way is Tony?
Hey, Tony. Yes, I'm over here. Hey, brother.
Hey, brother. Good to see you.
Brother.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, brother.
Now, when I say long time no see, of course, you know, me and the brothers, we've seen each other many times over the last year, but damn, yeah. It's good to see all three of you watching live on YouTube.
YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter tonight, actually.
Yeah. Yes. We'll get there. We'll get there.
No, I'm just kidding. This has been a long time coming. Wow. This is good. Are you guys nervous? I'm a little nervous.
I don't know. I wouldn't say nervous. Just, you know, we did this for so long, and now that we have this cool feature where we can record and do live stream, it's kind of exciting, but yeah, I see
video,
what you're saying.
I know.
Yeah.
Now everybody can see how ugly we really are.
I know. This was a lot easier on voice because I didn't like I could just, yeah, I didn't. I actually
weren't doing it naked, for God's sake.
Yeah,
because I know well, at least not going.
At least not when we were together. Jeez. It's funny because like I had some dinner right before we went on live, and I actually went and brushed my teeth before we got on here because is that what you do? Did I need to put some makeup on?
And just so everybody knows that's watching, okay, and that will watch tonight, this is the first time that we've like actually done a live stream for you guys. We have done a test one before, but we're still working out some bugs. Like I still hear a little bit of feedback or something in my headset. I don't know if it's it might be a setting somewhere, but
your voice just projects and it carries so far.
Yeah, it's possible. I hear yours sometimes, but it's okay. But so one of our good buddies actually texts me right before we went on and says, whatever you do, don't get nervous. This is live TV. The world is watching. Well,
the world.
We'll see how many people are watching. Probably not a whole lot right now. But that's okay. This is the first time we've been back in a long time.
Yeah. Whoever's watching this on YouTube, I want to thank you. In fact, we'll go to the chat here in a minute and see if we can get you guys to send us something. But just actually before we really start the broadcast, just we wanted to say a few things. We've been away for a while, for a few reasons. Life gets in the way.
Certainly.
Aaron, you've obviously had a few life changes for the better. Obviously, in your time, but for some of our Instagram followers out there, you might know that back in May of this year, we lost our dad. That was kind of a rough go around.
It was it was more difficult than I thought it would actually be.
Absolutely.
To be honest.
Absolutely. And dad was like he is solely responsible for the aviation bug getting in our blood. So
yeah, you know, and if I could just take a second too, it's just like, you know, I think we were up to almost 80 podcasts, were we not, at one point?
We were pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close. And we enjoyed doing it. We loved doing it. Like Tony said, like, a few of us just had some major life changes. I mean, you know, Aaron's in a new...
Dad certainly did.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And, you know, and then obviously talking about Dad, like, and then what happens is it's like, we weren't doing it consistently, and then it just kind of got away from us for a little bit. But we want you all to know, who is watching or will watch this, it's we talked about it all the time, and we were putting a plan in place, and Aaron got us a part of this new program that we can stream on all of our social media accounts. And we've just been, I've been anxious because I've been excited to get it going. I know you guys have two brothers because we've been texting about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're just happy to be back, and we're happy to be talking about what we love to talk about, and, you know, obviously have some laughs along the way, and we're just happy to be back. I just wanted to say that.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
I concur, brother. It's good to be back. We have set it on our schedules every Wednesday, 1900 Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, will be our live stream. We do plan on adding other content as well, getting interviews going again. That's one of the most fun part about doing the Ramp Check podcast is the interviews and the friendships and, you know, actually talking to the people that are, that were either in the industry, commercial aviation or military, or they're retired from it, or basically just anybody and everybody that we can talk to. Mm-hmm. We love talking about, you know, asking them about their stories and right. getting different perspectives from all walks of aviation life.
And we try to make it fun. Funny and interesting. We go on our tangents. If you've listened to some of our audio podcasts,
controversial at
you'll
times.
Know that That's we get okay. a little controversial at times, but hey, we're passionate about what we believe, we're passionate about what we do, and I want to thank all of our Instagram followers for sticking with us over this time. Aaron, I think you had an Instagram story, just the little tribute to Dad that
we, oh yeah yeah wanna, so
I'm gonna throw
yeah,
that on
here.
There.
Let me share so, this.
Yeah.
So this is our dad. And wow, edited 32 weeks ago. So anyway, our father passed away in May, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It was yep. May.
May 20th.
Oh,
oh
May
I thought 20th. It was the 20th. Yep.
Yeah, it was the 20th.
Wow, we're awful sons.
It was the 20th because I remember it was 20 days after his birthday.
Dad passed away sometime this year. Sorry, yeah. Dad.
Well, yeah. Last year. It's 2023
But yes. It was kind of, it was. It was kind of a blur. It was kind of a tough thing to deal with. But anyway.
So I just want to go through this because, you know, gosh, it was tough. But we posted this and, you know, we're heartbroken to announce we've lost our father last week from a short battle of cancer.
Try and read that without getting choking up, brother.
I'm trying, man.
I know.
Maybe I should shut the camera off for this.
Right.
We owe our father everything for giving us the aviation blood that flows through our AvGeek veins. From taking us plane spotting as kids to attending air shows, he got us hooked. He was always a sweet, simple man with a big heart. You are a loving father, an amazing grandpa. We love you, Dad. And then Ronald Rumfala, 1942 to 2022. He always said he wanted to live till at least he was 80, and he made it.
Mm-hmm.
So
he did.
But we had a really heartfelt outpouring from the aviation community and through our Instagram, and including our sister Lisa. She was basically the first comment on this, and it was tough, but. I mean, you can see I'm just scrolling through everybody just giving us, you know, condolences, and it was, you know, we appreciated every message. Everybody that, you know, that was tough, man. That was tough.
Yes, it was.
But anyway, go ahead. I was just going to scroll through a couple photos that we have.
Yeah, go ahead and scroll through the photos while we're talking. No, I just wanted to, so for those of you that didn't know, which obviously none of you didn't know, we kind of keep our private lives to ourselves, but our dad lived in North Carolina for the last couple of years. And he flew out here and we got to spend the last, we got to spend the last week with him, which was I was very fortunate and very grateful that we were able to do that. But one quick aviation memory I have with my dad is when I was a little kid, he would take me and my sister Lisa. This is before YouTube came along.
Well before.
And we would go out to, you say I'm old. We would go out to Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. And it was so funny because I always thought, when I thought of a Boeing 747, I always thought of the 747 SP and I always thought of American Airlines. Well, when I think back on it, that's what was flying in and out of Sky Harbor at the time. And so I just remembered we'd go out on Sunday after church. Yes, I know we went to church. but believe it or not, but that's one of my big memories of Dad. So Ryan, Aaron, you guys can go ahead too. I just kind of wanted to share that.
You want to go first, Aaron? I'll go after you.
Sure, I'll just go because I can scroll through these photos because I took most of these photos that I posted. But this is Dad on the USS Midway in San Diego. Midway. Yeah, you can see a CH-46 out on the deck there. The big
brig. Oh yeah, there it is.
Dad in his Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, he was all about the Hawaiian shirts. And then here's Dad. This is when we visited the Intrepid Museum when they used to have Enterprise on deck there in New York City. That was actually really cool to visit. And then here's Dad with a bunch of his grandkids. That's Grace and Aaron, Janessa, and then two of my little kids, Sadie and Noah there. And that's at Nellis. That's at one of the Aviation Nations years ago. There's a combat Learjet right there, by the way.
Oh yeah, it sure is, isn't it?
Nice.
Yeah. And then this is my dad with my daughter Bryn. He's a little baby. Bryn's now 19 years old, which is crazy. That's how old this photo is. Wow. This is down at the Pima Air and Space Museum. And then again, my dad, Sadie, Bryn, and Noah. And
in front of the ball.
Yeah, and that's at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona.
Nice.
So anyway, you know, I've got a lot of really good memories of Dad.
But, well, it's, you know, we look at what we're doing now, just on this podcast and like what we've done over the last few years, and you know, we do owe it to Dad. Like Dad placed the kind of bug in us early, and it's just so hard to think about. You know, you're never prepared to lose one of your parents. But I think about memories I have with Dad. The two main memories, first going out to Salt Lake International and just watching planes. Like, he'd make some sandwiches because we all know Dad loves sandwiches.
Yeah.
And we literally were just happy to go play around on the end of a runway and watch airplanes. And it was so cool. And then the other memory is when we'd go see Top Gun at the drive-in, the old drive-in movie. And, you know, we'd sneak in some Burger King, and I was always afraid we were going to get caught and arrested. And Dad would always reassure me that that wasn't going to happen. And just,
you asked me that last week when we went and saw Avatar.
seeing Top Gun and just getting out of the drive-in late and just talking about it on the way home. And you know, it's just really hard that dad's not here with us, but that was tough this year, and it's still tough. I can't literally talk about dad without just tearing up a little bit, but he's watching us now. He's on his own live stream somewhere else.
That's right. That's right. He's right. Watching on the great YouTube in the sky.
That's right.
And that reminded me of a couple of things with dad, and I'll be really quick because we're actually going to start the regular program here in just a second. But so dad and I went and saw Close Encounters of the Third Kind when it was in theaters together.
Nice.
Again, proof
that
about
movie
how
scared the shit out of me. Yeah.
Scared the shit out of every man in America. I'm just kidding. But the thing is at the end of the movie, it's like we walk out of the movie theater and we're both like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that had me feeling that way too, for sure. Yeah.
And then the last couple of years dad was around, he would always send me these random aviation photos of like a plane that's broke down in the woods somewhere. It was just kind of funny. And we'll talk about the upcoming red flag here in a minute at the end of this month. But I know that one thing we're going to do, and it's going to mean a lot to me, and I'm getting freaking choked up again, is we're going to spread some of his ashes at Nellis Air Force Base during red flag this year. So I think that'll be pretty cool.
So,
or at least just nearby, because I don't know if the base would be all about that.
Well,
so
you know where we're always spotted. We're hardly ever on base. You know what I'm saying.
We'll throw it in the air and it'll blow over
the
base and the speedway. And
exactly.
We'll just try not to pull a Lebowski. ashes.
Yeah, and the coffee can.
With the coffee.
All those young boys in Vietnam. We just wanted to do a little tribute to dad before we actually started the show. I think it was very important that we did, and just kind of that was one of the many factors as to why we were away for so long.
That was rough, and you know, not to take away from dad at all, but that same month also my wife and I welcomed our beautiful little daughter Tallulah into the world on May 9th. So that was quite the month for my household, that's for sure.
Yes, it was.
As difficult as it was with dad and watching him die and pass away. So that's also another reason. And she's a
so in other words, we have no excuse.
She does not like to sleep that great at night, so Jessica and I take turns, and some nights I'm up all night with her and some nights Jessica is, and you know, it's a challenge, but we love her, and we're pretty sure that's our last one. I'm getting up there in age, man, and I can't
you're gonna go get neutered.
Even though it's a lot of fun, but
come on. Oh, you're talking about having another.
He's talking about having the children, not the process.
Not the process. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's also great, but.
Well, I think on
we
that
won't
note,
go in. It's not that kind of podcast.
Moving on.
Yes, I think on that note, what do you say we start the Ramp Check podcast?
People like you, organizations like Ramp Check, I love you guys.
Gotta be down, ready now.
You are clear for takeoff runway 21 left. Winds are calm. Stand by for the retrans on uniform. It's showtime.
Beautiful.
I still love that end clip. Mm-hmm. That's when I was driving out of town from Nellis on a red flag, and that F-35 just freaking buzzed me right over Las Vegas Boulevard. It was the lowest F-35 launch I've ever seen. It was
That was a good one. And you know, it gets me excited for red flag. And you know what I never realized is in our intro, you get to kind of see every weather detail at red flag. You saw wind. You saw sunny and warm. You saw us all bundled up. That's the funny thing about Red Flag. You just never know the kind of weather you're going to get.
It's true.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, having said that, hey, yes. Everybody, welcome to another edition of the Ramp Check Podcast. I'm Tony.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ryan, little brother, live.
It just wouldn't be the same without that introduction. So, hey, welcome, everybody. Welcome back. We are thrilled to be live, and we will be live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, or excuse me, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Yes, yep. Mountain Time. And so if you can count, that would be 6 p.m. Pacific Time.
No, 7 p.m. You can't count.
Wrong. You're counting the wrong way. 7 p.m. Mountain Time is 6 p.m. Pacific Time. 7 p.m. Mountain
Time. What the hell?
Is 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Now that we're live and live streaming, we've got to get this right the first time. So
I know. So shut the hell up and let me talk.
1900 Mountain Time. Which is 7 p.m. Mountain Time every Wednesday. Simple as that.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
Every single Wednesday, we're going to be live. Also, make sure, and I think I've got, right here. So this little, see the little ticker down there? That's kind of cool, like way at the bottom. We get to have cool stuff like this now because we're on video. But especially if you're on Facebook, okay, we have a... we have a threshold that we'd like to reach. We'd like to reach at least 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. And we'd like to do that as soon as possible. So we have how many followers on Instagram now, Aaron?
I don't know. Just under 30,000.
Oh, only 30,000. Okay. So,
yeah. Well, we appreciate every follower.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if out of that 30,000 of you, if maybe just 1,000 of you would go over to YouTube and subscribe. But if you're watching on Facebook, maybe it, go over to YouTube Live, hit the subscribe button. Also hit the bell for notifications because in addition to every Wednesday night at 7 p.m., there just might be some surprise content popping up.
So I'm going to say... All 30,000 of you go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Absolutely. Not just 1,000.
Let's do it.
I was just being modest.
Let's aim high. Let's aim high.
Air Force. That's right. Slogan for the Air Force.
Aim high, right? Exactly. Wasn't that the old slogan?
Yeah, the 80s. That was like the 80s.
Yeah, it was the 80s. Isn't the new slogan Get Woke or something like that?
No, you know, maybe for some of the higher ups, but not the actual general population in the military.
Well, no, I'm not saying the actual population buys it. I'm just saying
fly, fight, win.
Oh, by the way, I just want to get this out of the way.
Oh my gosh, you're loud and proud. We need a ramp check mug.
I know, right? We definitely need one. Hey, show the beer sign.
I've got my ramp check Yeti.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Let me
show your beer stein, brother. Okay, all right.
I'll be like Jim on The Office when he didn't want to give up his chair. Okay, all right. I didn't have it ready to show, but anyway, check this bad boy out.
Yeah, that's nice. That a beer mug.
Pretty freaking awesome.
So you can customize that with anything on the Ramp Swag store, right?
Oh hell yeah, we could do all kind. This one's a cool one. It's got our little logo on it, but I wanted to make a Nellis Air Force Base, you know, Red Flag mug because we love Red Flag so much. But anyway, unfortunately, no beer tonight. But.
Oh man,
anyway. That's okay.
Then sorry, I can't. I'm just kidding.
I was like, did we just
Tony's gone.
We kind of worked out a format, but again, we're on the fly here, so we're live.
Yeah, and I just want to mention those of you who are watching or that will watch, whatever, send us a comment, because we can read your comments live while we're going, and we're going to have a little Q&A session a little bit later too. So, but anybody that wants to chat with us about what we're talking about, has a question, go ahead and use the chat feature wherever you're watching.
Yep. This one of the reasons why we decided to go live is when we were recording the podcast, obviously we couldn't interact with you live.
Right.
So that's one thing that we would absolutely love to do. And yeah, we'll do a little Q&A like maybe around the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But so we do have some news stories we have to talk about. We want to talk about those a little bit. And
yeah, let's do it.
And let's see. So why don't we get since we just talked about Dad, let's get the somber stuff out of the way. How about that? you know what I'm saying? I mean, just recently, obviously, we lost six individuals. And I'm sure that maybe you saw the video that was
yeah, and we're not going to
viral. We're not going to show it. No, if you have seen it, great. If not, it's if you want to look it up on your own, it is really tough to watch. But in Dallas, Texas, last month during an air show, there was just a horrific mid-air collision with a P-63.
Yeah, it was on November 12th. It was on November 12th.
Okay.
It was in November, not December.
Time flies so fast. Anyway, but Texas Raiders, a B-17 was up flying during the air show at the same time. And anyway, Aaron, you want to talk a little bit more about that? Obviously, you have a little bit more knowledge.
Very sad event. I'm sure everybody listening to the podcast has seen the video. The P-63 flies right into Texas Raiders, a B-17G. Everybody is killed that's on board the B-17. Fortunately, there were no, paying customers riding on the aircraft. It was just, crew and members of the Texas Raiders group. But, that's sad. But fortunately, there were no other fatalities, what I'm trying to get at. But, the NTSB obviously put out a preliminary report, and they had mentioned there's no altitude deconflictions brief before the flight or while the airplanes were in the air. Altitude deconfliction procedures are established in the event pilots find themselves at an improper altitude during the flight. So, I mean, basically, it looks like, the Commemorative Air Force or whoever was in charge. And I know that there was a specific air boss. I don't remember the person's name. I'm not going to really harp on that person, but it just sounds like there weren't great procedures in place for that air show.
Right.
And that's kind of what contributed to
is that, because did the, in, does it in say the, that in the report? Like,
it does. Yeah. From what I just read was directly from the report.
Okay.
There were basically no deconfliction, procedures put in place.
See, and I got to admit, I'd never really heard that term before, deconfliction. Mm-hmm. That's why I was a little confused by it. But, it's awful. It's sad. You watch that video and my first response is like, I got to make sure what I'm watching is real because there's so much fake stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it literally just makes your heart drop. And this just shows like how big of av geeks like we are, or I am anyway, is that, my heart stops because I'm like, oh man, that was a B-17. But then it's like, oh shit, there were people on those planes, and then,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyone that's, watch it, our prayers go out to all the fatalities. It's just so awful and it hurts.
And one of the things I thought about too, when I was watching that is imagine, back in World War II, when you just have waves and waves of these B-17s being attacked and shot down and being torn apart. I mean, man, what those war fighters went through back then.
Yeah.
That is the greatest generation. There's no doubt. And I, I've had the privilege of flying on a B-17 before. I flew on Sentimental Journey, which is, you know, based in Arizona. And it was on, you know, a calm summer day, perfect temperature, you know, virtually no wind, and, you know, and flying on that thing. I mean, it's loud, noisy, vibrates. As you climb an altitude, you can feel how much cooler the air is, the higher you go. And I mean, and that was not in any kind of a wartime condition.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, these guys were flying in negative degrees Fahrenheit temperatures up at altitude, bombing Germany. Unbelievable what these World War II vets went through. And
absolutely.
Could you imagine being like, I mean, any position on there, but let's say you're just like a tail gunner. And there's like 50 other B-17s and they're being attacked and you're seeing like collisions and B-17s going down, you know, and we see one go down in an air show and we're like, oh my gosh, like imagine what those. So when you say the greatest generation, I mean, what some of these, and we're not even talking about the troops on the ground or anything. We're talking about the Air Force guys, you know,
specifically the Army Air Force.
Yeah. What an experience that must have been. So
yeah,
it's rough.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And just one more really quick thing. I mean, that just shows you how delicate flying is because, you know, it's the year 2023. Flying has become routine for so many people. But when you think about just when the very slightest safety detail is either left out or compromised, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, everybody, and Godspeed. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about the Southwest Airlines meltdown.
I was going to say, let's stop talking about sad things.
Right. Well, I wanted to get that out of the way. So now it's like, okay, so all bets are off now. Hey, we've got five people watching on YouTube now. That's awesome. It's six now. Wow. Hey, send us a comment. That doesn't include
us. Hey, it's a start. We appreciate everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. If you're watching on YouTube right now, shoot us a comment and we can let us know who you are if you dare.
Or Facebook. You can make comments. I think Twitter we don't have set up yet for comments.
Right. Yeah, we ran a test. What was it, last night?
Yeah. So we'll have Hey, Ken Hess.
It's us. Meh. Okay. If you're not Ken Hess and watching us. No, I'm just kidding. Hess, how you doing, buddy? Oh, God. That's hilarious.
Hess actually... for Christmas bought his son one of our kick-ass Ramp Swag hoodies.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember which one off the top of my head. It was one of the cool Splinter camo ones. I don't remember if it was an F-35, an F-15, or an F-16 one, because we got three versions of it.
Oh, gotcha.
That's awesome. But, thanks, guys.
Oh, hold on a second. You guys talk for a second. I had another hat I was going to wear for the next segment. Hold on.
Okay. Oh,
here we go. But anyway, F-15. Yeah, awesome. So Hess says it was the F-15. Awesome.
Nice. Right on. Good. Glad he loves it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a cool.
All right.
That's a kick-ass hoodie.
So talking about the Southwest Airlines great meltdown. Again.
Make Airlines. Yeah. Right.
Oh, man. If you guys haven't heard yet, Southwest Airlines just, like, they had a major meltdown. Do I need to make that larger, by the way?
Yeah, just zoom in a little bit for us, brother.
Okay. Hold on a second here.
Zoom in on this, eh?
All right. So, anyway, there's just – I mean, it's all over the internet. If you type in Southwest Airlines news, you see all these headlines. Southwest Airlines sued for not providing refunds after meltdown.
I know.
Southwest giving passengers affected by meltdown 25,000 frequent flyer. That's it?
Well, I mean, there's no restrictions on those points if you read the fine print. And that's like right. $300 of travel credit right there.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
I mean, it's not awful. I mean, there's.
Yeah.
They just shouldn't have screwed up like this.
No, and you know, now that, you know, the lawsuits are going to start. Flying, and then you've got your politicians that, you know, don't say shit the rest of the year, and then something happens like this. We need a passenger bill of rights. Well,
stay out of it, Washington, for God's sake.
Right? Yeah. You know, exactly. It was pretty bad though. Meaning, like, you know,
awful.
There were some friends that Deanna and I had that were posting things on social media about being like stuck in the airport, and it wasn't your typical like delay. And then they were saying things like the Southwest was so overwhelmed that,
oh yeah,
that they, when someone finally did get through to actually talk to someone, they would tell them that they were going to help them. And then they would just like hang up on them. And then,
oh no, it was
like, it was bad.
It was very, very bad. But I mean, the thing is, Southwest is, you know, they've got a deep hole to climb out of now, because they're, I mean, I've flown Southwest so much over, you know, the last vacations over the years. And, it got me thinking twice on, you know, if we go somewhere this, you know, this spring or summer, like, am I really going to look at Southwest, or am I going to go somewhere else?
Right.
Because, I mean, the way that they had failed their customers this Christmas, and the worst part is it was over the holiday season.
Yeah, during the busiest travel time. I mean, something like one third of their fleet wasn't flying? Yeah. They canceled. One third was flying.
Yeah.
Two-thirds were, like, canceled. I mean, when you think about Southwest and how interconnected they are throughout the country, I mean, Tony, you were a dispatcher. Like, when flights get canceled, like, just imagine that ripple effect.
Oh, it has a terrible snowball effect. And the thing is Southwest Airlines has a little bit different system than most other major carriers. Most of them, if you've heard about this, it's the hub and spoke system. Mm-hmm. So you've got these different hubs, and most of the aircraft will travel out of that hub, then they'll travel back to that hub, and back and forth. And in some cases, some of those aircraft will actually flow through. That's a term, flow. Mm-hmm. Never mind. They'll flow through commercial to a different hub. Well, right. Now, for the most part, with Southwest, a plane might start in, let's say, Orlando, and it might end up in like Islip, New York, but that plane's going to go from like Orlando to Nashville, from Nashville to Dallas to Denver, Denver to Salt Lake, Salt Lake to Phoenix, and then Phoenix back to, I don't know, somewhere in Ohio. And then from Ohio, it'll end up in,
It's
just crazy. So you have one of your hubs or one of your focus cities or whatever you want to call it. If that breaks down, it can affect the entire system. And that's just the airplanes. You're not talking about all the flight crews that are out of place at the same time.
Yeah.
So it just makes me wonder, you know, is this a witch hunt by the media, or is it poor management? Is it both? Because as a dispatcher, when I worked, I would have a hub that was shut down, and sometimes it would take us a couple of days to recover. But this one was pretty excessive.
Yeah, it was bad.
And
I know one of our friends from the podcast is also very, you know, well known in the aviation industry. I text him and I'm like, well, Merry Christmas. Sorry about, you know, the company you work for. How's everything going? And he's all, oh man, it's such a mess. I'm like, sorry, dude.
Well, and so what are actually the facts of this? Because like there were some pilots taken to social media, like anonymously saying like, they were like in a hotel with like tons of other crews.
But yeah, they had to pay for their own hotel because
exactly, their
support wasn't even helping.
Right. Yeah. So
it was awful.
But then you got the news saying like, oh well, the storm was sweeping the country, and then you've got what are the facts even like?
Well, first of all, we can tell you that most news organizations are just going to feed you bullshit. So
no way.
Yeah, okay. I know.
Wow, no.
Can you believe it? But anyway, the only time that I'll ever, just like what Tony put on screen right there from NBC News, the only time that I'll actually read an article or watch something on mainstream media is if they're actually quoting something.
Yeah. It doesn't just say sources.
Exactly. If it's an opinion piece, it's like garbage and don't even listen to it or watch it.
Which I don't get my news from NBC News.
It's just a good source to pull up the union article.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny that you should mention that, Ryan, because a lot of the pilots, the Pilots Association, who is the quote unquote voice for the pilots, mm-hmm. they sent a scathing letter to Southwest Airlines management. And Nakui, and he's Captain Tom Nakui, he's the vice president of the union. Thank you. He says, system-wide meltdowns at Southwest Airlines have increased in frequency and magnitude over the past 15 years, citing not just the December failures that Southwest passengers stranded nationwide, but also incidents from years past. Those include a series of meltdowns at Chicago Midway, which, of course, is always prone to bad weather, summer or winter, in January 2014, leading to 130 flights being canceled. Now, when you think about that in the scope of things, and especially from a dispatcher perspective, 130 flights is a bad day. But then he said a router brownout issue in July of 2016 that caused 2,300 flights to be canceled.
Jesus.
So wow. when I worked for SkyWest as a dispatcher, we weren't even operating 2,000 flights a day at the time. And so 2,300 flights, that would have completely shut us
down. Wow. That's crazy.
And then there was the, what did they call it? The what flu sick out that happened in Florida that led to 29% of Southwest flights being delayed or canceled. You remember that? Just last year?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Southwest has got some cleaning up to do.
Yep, exactly. They, the most of the blame is not going on the new CEO, but actually the former CEO, Gary Kelly, who took over after Herb Kelleher resigned as chairman back in 2008. And this is just kind of a scathing quote here. I just want to say this and then we can move on if we need to. But Gary Kelly still reigns supreme on the board of this company, despite having overseen the decisions and setting the conditions that made this most recent fiasco possible. Adding that the airline struggles are not a Southwest Airlines problem. This is not an employees of Southwest Airlines problem. This is not an unprecedented weather problem. This is a Gary Kelly problem.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Well,
so pretty interesting. And when they talk about their computer system being so old, when I worked for Southwest Airlines back in the, what was it? The mid 90s, 1995, 1996.
Yeah, I was around a teenager. I remember.
Thank you for that. I was still pretty young though. I was in my 30s.
You had all your hair back then. Late 20s.
I had a shit ton more hair than I do right now. But back when I was with Southwest, that's when they introduced like this brand new state of the art Windows based.
Well, there's your problem right there.
System.
Yeah.
Well, when I say Windows, I mean Windows as in, let's see if I can point here. You have a window. I have a window. Anyway, because most of the.
There's your window right there.
Here, Ryan, can I hand you my cell phone?
Oh, yeah, here. Here, hand it to me. Phone? Okay, hand it.
Ready? Wait.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, brother.
You hand it back to me.
Oh yeah, here I'll have. Wait, I gotta make sure. Okay, I'll hand it back to you. Ready?
Okay, go. Oh, thanks, brother.
You're welcome. We're so dumb.
Anyway, most airlines' operations and reservation systems were all like these long, like 30 character DOS commands.
Yeah.
And so having a platform where it could actually be Windows based was pretty awesome, because then it just became point and click instead of typing in a million.
Yeah, instead of that computer that just had the green numbers like the Matrix.
Yeah.
And you had to enter in all the airline codes and I remember using
MS-DOS.
Yep. I remember using those for bag codes back when I worked with Frontier Airlines, like in the late 90s. Yep, for sure. So hopefully they can get it together. Exactly. I'll give you guys a little flyby from Southwest. Get it together, Southwest.
And that there is why you watch the Ramp Check podcast.
That's right.
That's right. You can do it.
Well, here, I got it.
Now I haven't done that before.
A knife edge pass now.
All the passengers are going, shit!
Right on. All right, what's next?
Here's one more somber story.
Oh, you're
going back. Okay. Oh, yeah, that is somber. Yep.
Yeah.
The Queen of the Skies, that is my and will always be my favorite commercial aircraft.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely. So I've got a tap pulled up here that I'll bring up. This one comes from Simple Flying. Yeah, it is Simple Flying. Sorry.
It is Simple Flying.
End of an era, Boeing's final 747. To roll off the production line today. And this was from December 7th,
2022. Okay, that
will live in infamy now for multiple reasons.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. But this aircraft, serial number 67150, will be registered November 863 Golf Tango. And I believe it's going to Atlas Air.
But, yeah.
Look how, beautiful the 7478 freighter is. Unbelievably, just
look at that thing, man.
It's beautiful, and
it is gorgeous.
But and then the article also has early,
the old Pan Am
original 747. But by 93, Boeing had accumulated orders for more than 1,000 747s. By June 2014, more than 1,500 of the aircraft had been produced. Unbelievable program. I mean, over 50 years of the 747 production.
That's the aircraft that even non-AM geeks know.
Everybody knows
the 747. Yeah, you see it and you're like, yep, that's a 747. Look how pretty that is.
Yep.
Exactly.
I wish we would have seen more passenger versions of the Continental.
Of the Intercontinental, yeah. The article continues, plenty of years left for active service, though. While the end of production for the 747 aircraft is definite, it doesn't mean that the aircraft completely disappears from the skies. There are still commercial airlines actively flying them today. Asiana Airlines operates just one Boeing 747-400 for passenger carrying flights, and features eight premium business class seats in the nose. The aircraft currently operates flights between Seoul and Changchun. Anyway, another chance to catch
Cancun.
The jumbo jet is the Asia Pacific would be from Korean Air. The airline operates the Boeing 747-8 aircraft on its Seoul, Honolulu, Seoul, Los Angeles, Seoul, Atlanta. And actually, I actually saw that Seoul, Los Angeles flight. There's a really cool YouTuber I give a shout out to, LA Flights, and that's always a fun channel to watch. But Korean Air 747-8 that they have, and they have more than one, but that Seoul to Los Angeles. I saw that flight just the other day.
Nice.
But anyway, there's a 747-400 from Lufthansa.
They
fly the Dash 8s as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last thing, read from the article, the bottom line, although the Boeing 747 will never be produced, the aircraft certainly left behind quite a prosperous legacy that spanned over five decades. It is a definite shame to see the end of such an iconic era, but an end for Boeing in this chapter will unravel the beginning of other possibly iconic chapters, such as the new Boeing 777X, which they're actually testing right now, which is just an impressive aircraft. Whether or not Boeing will ever produce another classical aircraft remains to be seen with the future of twin-engine jets, but it is not impossible. But yeah, anyway.
Wow. So we just got this from Hess. I guess Hess is working and watching the podcast tonight.
Nice.
Hard overhead to brief the crew. Okay. All right. Reset the podcast.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another. Oh, by the way, Wadman says hi.
Nice. Yeah.
There was
Bet.
Period. What were we talking about where that made sense?
I don't Wadman. Know. Are you sure you're talking to us, Wadman?
I don't know.
Oops, that was meant for somebody else. Anyway, that's pretty funny. I look at a lot of this news here, and like a lot of it is actually kind of sad.
What's kind of sad? What did you say?
A lot of the news that we've had on here. I mean, obviously we talked about Dad. We talked about Texas Raiders. We just talked about the 747, the last one coming on the production line. And then there's this.
Like a Ramper's worst nightmare. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Right. So, I mean, let's see. Where is this? I thought I had it all queued up and ready to go in the right place.
Good job,
all right,
brother.
Fail on my part.
Good
thank
job,
you.
Brother.
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. So that's zoomed in. Baggage handler tragically sucked into the engine of an American Airlines airplane. EMB 175. This happened at Montgomery Regional Airport. A baggage handler was killed after being sucked into the engine of an American Airlines regional aircraft.
Oh, man.
The airport shut down for several hours after the accident as the Federal Aviation Administration, NTSB, launched an investigation. So this is coming from Simple Flying, by the way. And it says in a shocking event, this is a tweet from Flight Level 360 Aero. In a shocking event, a baggage handler was fatally sucked into an engine of an American Eagle Embraer ERJ-175 aircraft. The left engine of Montgomery Regional Airport in Alabama. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of the deceased. This is really graphic content. So if you look really closely, nothing's happening. Basically, all it did is it just shows the emergency vehicles there. But can you just imagine?
Yeah.
That.
Well, and it's probably the smallest intake that you could get sucked into. As well.
I know.
Right?
Those legacy 175s, I mean, they still have a lot of suction power, apparently.
So if you're claustrophobic, then that would be even worse before dying.
Oh, yeah.
Because the intake is so small.
I don't know how, and you know, I don't mean to criticize because, you know, we're talking about someone who's deceased, and I mean no disrespect.
And we don't know what happened.
Yeah, but I'm like, after working out on the ramp for like 18 years, man, like I treated those engines as like you're like you just don't ever go near them.
But if you think about it, brother, since we were all supervisors or managers on the ramp or whatever it was
right.
in our lives, think about all the times that you had to pull somebody off what they were doing because you're like, dude, you're gonna like fucking die.
Yeah, I know.
You're gonna die, or you're gonna get somebody killed.
Exactly. I mean, there are. It's unfortunate because a lot of ramp workers are paid very little. They work long hours in all weather conditions, and I definitely think ramp workers need more legitimate pay and need to be respected a little bit more because, I mean, we were all ramp workers at one point in our careers, and we definitely didn't feel the love when we were working out there. Sometimes we would. There were cool pilots and passengers at times that would tip us well or feed us well, you know, but, you know, I'm not saying this is the case, but unfortunately, the ramp, you know, it's full of a lot of people that are just, they're out there because they could get hired because the airlines need them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because not a lot of people want to do that type of work for such little pay.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. I just, it just seems so avoidable. But, you know, I mean, so do a lot of things. Mistakes get made, things happen, and it's just sad that someone has to pay for it with their life, you know. That's too bad. Yeah. I mean,
and again, it goes right back to the fact that just one little tiny lapse in safety and
here you go again. Well, and sometimes you don't even have that control. I mean, look at what happened to me on a regular rainy day, like with the lightning incident. Like, hey, Sparky. I know, like that wasn't anything I was doing. I wasn't outside of any of the safety protocols or anything like that. Right. It just happened. But so, you know, until you know the full story, but you know, it's just too bad. Really.
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
In case any of you are wondering what was wrong with our brother, Ryan, well, that's because he was struck by lightning on a tug at Pollock International Airport.
Yeah. It's on one of our previous audio podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Before we move on from the story, just a couple of other things. And this is going to bring us into, this will actually bring us into our Q&A our poll for the evening. Ground accidents are very rare, but unfortunately do happen. As Simple Flying reported in August, a Russian airport worker was killed by an Antonov An-24 propeller.
Ugh.
Yikes. Operated by UT Air. Another tragic accident in the U.S. Also occurred in August. A baggage handler at Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport, say that five times fast, was killed while unloading baggage.
Oh, sorry. Man of white. Sorry.
Ryan doesn't pass. Oh my God! Talking about rampers being killed here.
A baggage handler, in New Orleans was killed while unloading baggage from a Frontier Airlines flight after her hair got stuck in the machinery of a belt loader. Oh my God! Yeah, that's terrible. So again,
I never knew that.
Is our poll for the night? What would be the worst way to meet your maker as a ramper? Sucked into an engine, running into a propeller. Oh my God, that would just. Or getting your hair caught in a belt loader. Oh my gosh! So send us a comment right now.
Those are pretty awful. I would think getting sucked into an engine like feet first, man. So you like saw and felt everything as you were dying.
God, I don't even want to think about it, man. No thanks.
That's just terrible.
Be careful out there.
Anyone who's a ramper, be safe. Be careful. Actually, I don't like saying safe, but be safe.
I need to change that. Give me just a second here. I'm at a little something. Give me one second.
Lovely.
Let's see if I can edit this really quick. Let's see.
Tony is doing live on-air editing.
Right?
Yes. This is a fluid show.
Yeah, it is. I think this has actually been pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been going pretty good. I want to read a couple comments on here. has nothing to do with would be the worst way to die, but
yeah.
But
thank goodness.
Let's see, Matt Wadman. Really quick. Oh, what would be the worst?
Being struck by lightning.
Oh, yeah, being struck by lightning. Hess says belt loader. The first two would be pretty instant. That's very true.
Yeah, a belt loader would be pretty bad.
That is so true. And oh, what a way to go.
I wonder what kind of aircraft it was. And do you think it was a Frontier flight, so it was either a Boeing 737 or an A318. You would think that I don't know. Do you think it like I don't even know.
Well, I those dude, belt loader apparent- like we have another from who's Preppy 235? Who's that?
I
think that's Hess's kid, because this was a comment that he sent earlier. I'll catch you up on it later, Dad.
Oh,
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, but
yeah, he said, is that little Hess?
He said I'd have to agree, belt loader, right? Those belt loaders, man, they are, right? I put one through a perimeter fence once because I got it going too fast.
Dude, yeah. There was some belt loaders that you'd use, and you'd turn on the belt, and if you rev the engine, that damn belt dude would be like,
yep.
Like, dude, if you got caught in it, oh, yeah.
I've had one grab my airport badge on a lanyard and just rip it right off my neck. Like, if I didn't have one of those giveaway lanyards, True. The belt loaders are. Oh, I am indeed Little Hess. What's up, Little Hess?
Oh, nice.
And then Wadman says, yep, agree with the belt loader. Tie up your damn hair. LOL. Yeah, if Wadman was out there working, at least his head would be 10 feet.
There's Wadman right there.
Yeah.
The beard is what's going to have to be tied up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Oh, that's too that's funny. Awesome. Oh, by the way, when Wadman said there were bets on, period, I didn't understand. This is what he actually followed up with. Tony said all bets were off, implying there was a need to be given.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. I know. We got to get better at reading the comments as they come in instantly.
You'll have to excuse my friends. We're a little slow.
The town's back that way.
The belt loader's back that way. Never mind. All right.
That's funny.
Yeah, I would never have the problem of my hair being caught in the belt loader. So I would have to say.
Yeah.
I would have to say probably a prop, just because that freaks me out more than being sucked into an intake for a jet for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I hope.
Maybe it's because the blades.
I hope that would be instant.
Well, I just remember that scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. When they're having that fight,
that kind of stuff with me. The internet shows you too much. I mean, I've seen so many videos of, you know, like dudes walking into a tel rotor, directly in front of a helicopter idling on the ramp, and you know walks right in, I mean, just shaves his head off, and oh my god.
There
are some awful ways to die in aviation.
Well, I do know, and again, not once again, I'm not being disrespectful to any of these people. We're just discussing the incidents, but I remember one time that they were landing a little R-22 on a trailer of a semi to ship it somewhere. And I remember the incident that happened. I didn't see it happen, but I had to go over and kind of like, because at the time I was a supervisor, I had to kind of contain the scene, meaning like I had to get like law enforcement and the investigators into the hangars around and stuff. Anyway, he had a spotter off the side of the trailer, and he was guiding him in. And when he landed, one of the skids wasn't on, and it went like this. And it got the spotter, the rotors. And the one thing that I remember seeing that I couldn't unsee was the blood up on the hangar door. Like, but the hangar door was probably like a good like 20 feet, 30 feet from where it happened. So felt bad for the guy, man. But that was,
wow.
Gotta be careful.
Yeah, that's rough. Yep. Damn.
That's rough. So,
well, just wow. Be careful out there if you're working the ramp, or I mean, even if you're, you know, professional pilot or just for fun. I mean, you're out around aircraft, you've got to respect aircraft in the ramp at all times.
Absolutely.
You know, I can remember, you know, one more story along this, then we can move on. But, you know, I can remember when I was a de-ice manager at Salt Lake International Airport for all airlines other than Delta. United Express flew in a Dash 8 often between Denver and Salt Lake City. And there were a couple times the pilots wanted to leave the engines running and de-ice. And we're like, I don't think so.
Not preferred, yeah.
I mean, you can, technically you can de-ice a Dash 8 with the engines running if you de-ice from behind.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, the Dash 8 has a big engine, you know, big props there for a small computer. And it's like, damn, that's scary.
You're just asking for a disaster in a situation like that.
So, amen. I'm just saying amen tonight. Like, I don't know why I keep using that term, but.
Right. So before we move on to our next story, once again, send us a comment right now. What would be your worst way to meet your maker as a ramper? We've got, and you can obviously come up with your own, but running into a propeller, being sucked into an engine, getting your hair caught in a belt loader, or being struck by lightning.
Oh my God.
Ryan.
Comment,
but while you're right. Well, while you're at it, hey, we're up to 7 now. All right. On YouTube. Anyway. While you're at it, subscribe to the podcast and hit that bell button for the notifications so you can and also hit the like button too, because I don't know if 7 likes is going to make us trending on YouTube. but it'll help. It'll help spread the word.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
But hit the bell as well. Everybody started here, okay? Everybody did. The difference between us is we have 30,000 followers on Instagram, hint, hint, to come over here, subscribe. But hit that notification bell, too, because we are going to be broadcasting live or live streaming every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. But if you hit that notification bell, not only will it remind you to tune in on Wednesday nights, but also you'll also be alerted when any additional content pops up as well. So,
yeah, ready.
But yeah, let us know what your worst way, what the worst way you think would be to meet your maker on the ramp. let's see. Oh, and so we've covered a lot of dark topics, haven't we?
Yeah. What's our next topic? But Satan and aviation.
Okay. No, I'm just gonna. This is just gonna be something a little. I'm gonna pop in on a webcam, live webcam at an airport in Germany, just to see what's going on. This is really cool.
This is Tony's dream to go play with these.
I know.
All of
this
us.
This looks like a really cool airport, doesn't it? I mean, the weather looks good. And see, they've got A380s.
Oh,
so it looks like this one's departing.
A380?
Wow.
Look at that. Is that a 737 or an A330? I can't tell. It's kind of small.
It's going to... Wait, is that a wall? No, shit, it's going to run into the wall. Whoa, ate it up. Sorry. This is the coolest model airport. And, you know, in my quest to find bigger ab geeks than we are.
there it is.
Oh, yep. Air France 777 just touching down.
That is pretty legit, though.
Can you believe that?
That's funny. That's pretty cool.
That is one hell of a model airplane and airport collection.
That
anyway,
is.
I just wanted to share that, kind of cleanse the palate a little bit. from what we've been talking
about. That's awesome.
Oh, shoot. We got to go back to it really quick. Hold on.
What?
We got an EVA Air 747 taking off.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. And it even does the lift off, the proper lift off. It just disappears out the wall.
That's so funny. Oh, that's great. Man,
that is so awesome.
That's great, though.
That's fun to watch. That was a video that I found on YouTube that, let me see who this is posted by. So the place is called Miniature Wonderland, and it's in Germany, and this was posted by BB1960 on YouTube. So anyway, just to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, so your little poll you have, Hess commented, covered in jet fuel while refueling then catching fire. Yeah, that would be a terrible way to go.
That would be.
Yeah.
kind of like burning at the stake as a witch.
Actually, low load would probably be worse because it has a lower flash point.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys remember me telling the story when I worked out on the ramp for Majestic in Salt Lake, and I had to fuel that MU2.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever fueled an MU2, you'll know it's absolute hell.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially not only if you're doing it alone.
Right, and I was doing it alone. But the problem is when you first start fueling it, if you open up the nozzle too quickly, it goes everywhere. So I soaked myself in Jet A. And I still, on my right leg, on the top of my thigh, I still don't have feeling on the top of my leg from that incident.
Yeah,
And thank God I didn't catch on fire.
Yeah. I just remember one time fueling an MU2. They have a little pressure release valve that you have to stick like a pen or something in the side of the wing tip tank.
The side of the wing tank.
And if you don't do that, it doesn't depressurize the tank before you open it. Well, I remember one time I totally forgot and I opened. You know, and it was like really hard to get open. I'm like, what the hell? And I do it, and that fucking cat dude shot like 60 feet in the air, dude. I was like, holy shit. And I did everything I could so it didn't land on the wing, and fortunately.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good old MU2s, man. Thankfully, they weren't very common.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Everyone all of a sudden that worked the ramp had to go take a dump when a MU2 landed.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Everybody scattered had to go.
That's when a big competitive game of pens happened, right?
That's when a low lead would get called out, and for the first time of the day, everyone would try to jump on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. For sure. That's too funny. We did have just a comment from Lil Hess. The model airplane setup we wish we could have. Tell me.
Yeah.
That would be so
I'd be out there making noises anyway. Like a little kid, jet engine noises. And yeah, I would totally be
build
doing
model
that.
Airplanes, he says.
I'd be over by the jetway and I'd be like, this one's needs a quick turn.
Kind of like
you're like driving the fuel truck
the tug.
Kind of like the two of you in the backyard at the house of Ogden GI Joe aircraft carrier.
Oh, dude!
I was telling Tony about that the other day, Aaron. How like the grass was the ocean, and we had that air, and we made Mom's entire garden into like a little Air Force base with a runway.
Had a lighted runway with Christmas lights and everything.
Yep, dude. And we'd just go out there and we would just play like we were in Air Force Base and going on missions and stuff like that. I mean, dude, that's what being a kid's all about, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely.
It really is. So, let's see. Hey, Aaron, do you want to queue up that YouTube video just with the B1?
Which
with the
one?
Bone departure. from our YouTube video.
I think you guys have that queued up.
Yeah, I got it. Oh, Aaron's got it.
I want to show that here as one of the last things that we show tonight. But just one more story really quick, and this one's just kind of lame. I don't know if everybody knew, but if you're wanting to travel to the U.S. from pretty much anywhere else in the world, you got to be double vaxxed. So that was just extended through April 9th, I believe. We just heard that. And then also they passed, or the CDC along with the TSA or whatever, or if you're flying in from China, you also have to test. I'm not sure what the test is, if it's written or oral, but yeah.
Just kidding. I'll say to that, because I could literally spend hours on the bullshit. All I'll say,
and we've all talked about this
all
before,
I'll say so, is but... W-H-Y. Why? Like, so dumb. Like, it's exactly. Like, it's just, it's time to move on from that bullshit.
Time to move on. Exactly. So that is that. Before we show that video, by the way, if you are or were an audio subscriber to the podcast, these newer episodes will also go up on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Audible. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Hey, Tony, you want a cheers? That's
your... Yep. You ready?
Clink.
Cheers. You know what we need to do is, Aaron, you need to get your Crowder cup and say, hey, Tony, can I borrow your louder with Crowder cup? And then I'll just hand it over to you.
I know. We'll do it on one of the next episodes. That's
funny. But again, the audio versions will be available so you can listen to the podcast in your car. We're really excited for what we're doing because we're going to bring back a lot of our old guests. If they'll come back, we might have to bribe them with a really cool mug.
They will. They'll come back.
But we'll get some new guests on here. And we are headed down to Red Flag.
That's right.
Red Flag 23-1. When does that actually start, Aaron?
The week of the 23rd, I think it is.
So that is the first week. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, right, it is the week of the 23rd. We'll be there the 25th through the 27th.
25th to the 27th.
Wednesday through Friday.
Yep, Wednesday through Friday. So we'll be down there. Look for us. We'll bring you some cool ramp swag. Like, let me see what I've got here.
Where are you going?
We can actually show people some of the cool stuff we have.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
We can, we'll maybe hook you up with some Ramp Check stickers.
Definitely.
Maybe some 21-3 Red Flag patches that we have to give away.
We still have some of those to give away. We need to make some new Red Flag.
Yep. Absolutely. So we'll have some Ramp Swag. And speaking of Ramp Swag, you can also support us by going to the Ramp Swag store and get some really cool stuff.
Yeah, we're all wearing it.
We're all wearing some cool
Ramp Swag. I got my Raptor shirt.
This, I think, is a limited edition.
Then
I don't know if that's still available at some point. But hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
For sure.
And Aaron, you're going to show us some stuff?
Yeah, I can just show you what's on there right now. We got a lot of cool hat designs. You can also request an aircraft with a the base tel flash, the 2-letter tel code. So we've got hats, hoodies, some new cool B-21 Raider stuff. This is actually a really cool one. I like this one.
Yeah,
American Air Power.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is pretty awesome.
But all these are available on the Ramp Swag store. Got some stickers, some hats. This is actually one of my favorite.
I love that.
One of my favorite hoodies. I actually have. Let's see. Is this the one that I have? No. I've got. Let's see here. Hold on one sec. this one here with the Raider, this one here with this on the back.
Yeah, I think that's a cool one.
Yeah, that's the B-21 on the ice.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a cool one. Then the front.
So all that, oh yeah, definitely. Everything you're looking at right now is available on the Ramp Swag store. Just go to rampcheckglobal.com/shop-all and it'll take you there and you can get some of that cool stuff. Grab yourself some Ramp Swag before you head down to Red Flag. Mm-hmm. And if we see it in some Ramp Swag, we'll obviously bring you some of your own swag. So, but anyway,
yeah.
So yeah, so Red Flag, we will be there. Anything else we need to talk about? Because I want to check this bone video out again. It's just one of my favorites.
I don't think so. Here's a couple designs with the new 65th Aggressor F-35s. This is a cool shirt.
Can we reveal our posters yet? Of those designs, those top secret designs that, oh shit, maybe I wasn't supposed to talk about anyway.
Oh no. Those, I think we can. I mean, they're not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because anyway. I need to mount
those.
We can
check it. We can check into it.
Yeah. Look into it and see. But yeah, so we will be at Red Flag. So look for us there. We'll definitely look for you guys. We will obviously have some video from Red Flag. We'll do a live stream from Red Flag. Not sure exactly how long it's going to be.
We always try. The signal there just always isn't the best, but we'll definitely try to do live streams.
Exactly. We going to back that up a little bit, or you want to start it right here? Cause that's a good place to start.
I think this is good. I mean, we just wanted to do the night launch, right?
Yeah, let's do the light launch and maybe just a couple of
Yeah, this is from Red Flag 21-1. Love this video. And this video is available to watch anytime on our YouTube channel.
Yep. Do you have the screen maximized, brother?
Look at those burners. Lighten up.
Look at that. That is so cool.
That is sick. I love how the number 2 went in and out for a second.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now watch for the second bone to taxi in behind it and line up.
And he's not wasting any time either. Look at that.
Oh, that's
bad. There he goes.
Man, I'm going to miss seeing the B1s, man.
Me too.
Nothing like them.
Light them up, baby.
Yeah, there we go. And then the number 3 lag behind. Yeah, that's badass.
Look at the other B1 in the distance.
Yeah.
Gone.
So I'm putting together a few clips from all of our different Red Flag trips, so we can we'll maybe roll that next week.
Good.
I'll put it up on our YouTube page ahead of time, but or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just make you have to watch it here.
Yeah, that's just sick. All that power, man.
Wow. Yeah. And there I am starting
my
car.
There's Tony starting his car.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we got to watch this one, though.
Yeah, this is a good one, too. So this is the same location as the night launch we just watched the other way, except...
Look at that.
Launching the other way.
Oh, that's just...
And the sound that these things make just... I mean, it just rumbles your chest. Nothing like a B1 launch right over you.
Oh, yeah.
Hold still, Tony.
What?
And you just hear the popping, man. Just all that power.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
There's one more video that I want to show really quick, but I need to...
Is it from this compilation?
No. You keep playing that for just a second. I need to add it to our video clip. One second here.
I know.
Jeez, who was shooting that? Like,
that's Tony. Oh,
it's like Maverick trying to get a lock on a bogey.
Lock up, baby. Lock up. No, it's because I got caught in the jet walk.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, shoot, I'm going to have to edit that one down. Okay, I'll show that one next week. It's one of my absolute favorite clips.
All right.
Well, it said the file was too large to upload. But, man, that baby's beautiful.
Ready.
Aaron, you want to give us a preview while we're watching this of what we can expect to see at 23-1 this year?
Have actually no damn idea.
Okay, well, let's have a surprise then. That's awesome.
Actually, that's not true. I do know that the word is that the Brits and the Australians are going to be bringing some jets.
Okay.
For 23-1, so we'll probably see a combination of, you know, Super Hornets, F-35s. I don't know if, you know, I don't think the Brits would bring anything else over. Maybe Typhoons again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, why are they bringing anything over? Because, you know, Ukraine.
I know. Seriously. But anyway, so, and then 23-2 is supposed to be really cool because the Israeli Air Force is supposed to be bringing over their F-15s and some F-35s. So
nice.
Ooh, nice.
And that's okay. For 23-2. Cool. So,
no plans to see the B-21 Raider at Red Flag this year?
No, probably not. We won't see the B-21 at Red Flag till probably like Red Flag, like, you know,
like
31-29-3 or something.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it'll be a while, but it'll be awesome to, you know, to see the first flight happen this year.
Yeah,
for the Raider.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, guys, I think that's a wrap. What do you
think? Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, no, it was fun. I'm glad we're live streaming now. I'm glad we're back doing the podcast.
Yep.
You know, we love doing this. I can't wait to, you know, to get more guests on.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, some of the past guests. Well, hopefully all the past guests.
Definitely.
That'll come on, like you said. We might have to bribe them.
Refresh your memory a little bit.
Yeah, and then some new ones.
See what they've been up to.
Yeah,
absolutely. Just a reminder, the Ramp Check podcast live streaming every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. And also make sure that you like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell as well. That way, when any other videos pop up other than live stream, you'll be the first to know about it. You can go and watch it. Please share this. Pass it on with your friends and family. If you're listening to the audio version, of course, find us anywhere you can find your podcasts. That would be Apple, Spotify, Audible. All kinds of different places. The hell are you laughing at?
I thought you were saying that would be apples. Like, that would be so awesome.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, what the
hell?
That
is so apples. Apple, Spotify. Anyway, like this, please share it, subscribe, all that fun stuff.
And Little Hess said, it's awesome to see the podcast come back. Excited to see what's in store. Well, thank you, sir. We're excited as well.
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
Thanks for
watching. I appreciate it. And Little Hess, your homework assignment is to pass this on to your
friends.
And
Wadman says, some things never change. Yes. That is true.
Was that good or bad?
I'm gonna take that as a good thing.
All right. Well, let's hope. Let's hope. Yes. Thanks, you guys, for participating tonight. We appreciate it very, very much. And I guess we will see you next Wednesday. Of course, we're not going anywhere until we get our send-off from little brother.
Good day, everybody. Good to be back.